Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, welcome back. This is Newsfile, your most authoritative news analysis platform. And here on Newsfile, we put Ghana first. And just share a couple of messages with you before we move on to our next issue, which we have to deal with very quick, and then go to ask the question whether or not the selection of Professor Jane Nana Opokuagyeman as a running mate of John Dramani Mahama will translate into having a first female vice president for the Republic of Ghana. Prince Henry in Koforidua says it's Nanado building the National Cathedral for homosexuals. Why should Nanado be afraid to sign the LGBTQ bill into law if he believes in his own mantra, Ghana beyond aid? Does it mean that the pressure is on and that the LGBTQ is bound to happen, as Nanado told the entire world when he was interviewed by the Al Jazeera journalists? All right, so thanks for your message. This one from Anefi in Tamale, he says that we need to revive our education system. Nowadays, the kind of students we produce is very bad. No academic calendar, poor feeding at our boarding schools, and lack of syllabus in our basic schools. Ghana needs reform in the education sector. And Professor Agyeman, Nana Opokuagyeman, is ready to champion that. Okay, so you have already started on that subject matter. Don Pino Malam, he says, in a country where we beg for everything from foreign donors, we should be conscious of the laws we pass. We ask to the extent of asking for support to fund our own budgets. So we may want to pretend to be our own, but as a matter of reality and fact, we are neo-colonialists. Our fingers are in the mouth of these same people who are opposing the passage of the anti-LGBTQ bill. So if we have balls, begin to think and act as human beings, God created in his own image, and just like the Westerners, maximize the use of your abundant natural resources and stop begging to feed yourselves. All right, so thanks for that message also. This from your colleague and friend, Samson Frederick. He says, I entirely agree with Godwin Eduji Tamaklo's views. I don't understand the argument that religion is being abused to force someone. What the IMF and others are alleged to be threatening is it not using economic power to prevent a sovereign state from enacting laws that governs its geographical jurisdiction? The president should go ahead and sign and let the people who have issues contest it in the Supreme Court. That's how we develop the law. Thank you for that as well. Kingsley says that the professors are just confused and are not making any serious and cogent arguments based on any data or law. You are refusing to listen. That's what you're saying. That's not the best way to disagree with someone, especially when they have used specific law and facts to argue. He says, in fact, they are just relying only on the narrow human rights thing. If all of us are allowed to exercise our rights just the way we want, then it should be easy for cocaine sniffers to advocate to all of us to do same. The economic argument by the Ministry of Finance is erroneous. Please get Professor Bokwing's view on this. Okay, so we have heard Professor Bokwing and his group, the Advocates for Christ. Actually, there's some of the research that they have done that I have just shared in this discussion. All right, I think I could take a pause here, even though I see many more of your messages. We shall read some of them again subsequently. And this show is brought to you by the kind sponsorship of Bank of Africa, strongest a group and closest a partner, MTN, everywhere you go. Ashesi University, educating ethical and entrepreneurial leaders for Africa. Robert & Sons Optical Services, your comprehensive eye care service provider for 33 years plus. My Way Insurance, dial *165# on MTN to join My Way today. Syntex Tanks is strong, it's tough. Flamingo Paints, simply superior. Now, let's get to some other issue somehow related to the exercise of our independence, if we are really 67 years old and independent. And my guests you have been listening to over the period, Professor H. Kwesi Prempeh, Executive Director, Ghana Center for Democratic Development, a constitutional expert and law teacher, Dr. Arthur Kobina Kennedy, his physician, political activist, and chair MPP Communications Committee 2008 campaign. He was credited as the man who has the best ideas in the presidential race, but didn't have the pocket to support it, so he got one vote. Godwin Ejiji Kujo Temeklo is Director, Legal Directorate of the National Democratic Congress, and Richard Anyagba is Director of Communications, the New Patriotic Party. Now, let's start with Dr. Arthur Kennedy one more time. And Doc, you have written an article about the independence story to try to project some three other persons, or how many were they, who you think have been marginalized in the story. But this morning, what we are asking is, what sort of independence is this? We keep saying we are a proud nation. What is there to be proud about? Have we failed, or we are failing the independence dream? Countries, I've just come from a country known as a desert, and they are now the world's most visited. They moved their GDP from just a couple of figures to over 100, you know, billion plus. They are doing a green economy. In Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, you are shocked to see the trees that are growing up. And we are cutting them down here and planting new ones. What is there to be proud about?
Something we should be careful not to say that we have not achieved anything, because we might be in a backhanded way justifying colonialism. Nobody has a right to rule another. So in that sense, it is good that we're ruling ourselves. Having said that, we have fallen far short of our founders' vision when Nkrumah talked about the fact that the world should be on note that there is a new kind of African managing its own affairs and blah, blah, blah. Most of those dreams have not been realized. And you look at even these debates that we are having now, it's very emblematic of the fact that we effectively have just a flag and anthem independence. And my view is that this is not new. It is that we have not had what I call intellectual, cultural, and other authentic forms of independence. When you talk to Indians and Chinese, or you watch them, they have a sense of who they are. They are independent. I think we confuse westernization for modernization, and we try too much in effect to imitate the West in ways that are not productive, including even the LGBT debate that we just had. And those things are not helping us. As far as the independence heroes you are talking about, I think that even the way we picked our big six or the heroes of our independence goes to the fact that we are not an independent people, because the British just decided to pick six people, and from then on we proclaimed them as quote unquote the big six. How is it that Par Grant, who summoned the leaders who started the independence fight, and then bankrolled it, helped bring Nkrumah, is not part of the big six? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Why is it that Chief Neil Kwabena-Boni, who organized, his organizational talents are amazing. Go read about him, how he organized the movement against the AWAM, Association of West African
Merchants.
Merchants. How he organized, went around, weapons support against them. How is it that Henry Kusi, who wrote the Kusi Report, in which in part he talked about how, contrary to the Wasson Commission, we cannot do away with our chiefs because they are so integral to our society. And the report was so far-reaching that it became the model for a lot of colonies. How is it that he's not part of the big six? How is it that Bidima, who held the CPP together while Nkrumah was in jail, and without him, Nkrumah might have disappeared, is not part of the big six? How is it that we don't have any woman as part of the big six? Madam Shosho and a lot of others who bankrolled Nkrumah and the others, and without them, maybe a lot of what we saw would never have happened. The reason is that the British just said these were your big six, and we all saluted and took them as our big six. I think we should re-legitimate or re-litigate the big six as a way of legitimating our own sense of ourselves. And not only that, even now as we speak, apart from the unfortunate argument being made by the finance minister about how, oh, if we do this, you know, we'll lose funding and all that, the truth of the matter is that we can't even finance our own elections. Whenever it's election time, we go begging for money to do it. We can't finance our own education. We look to other people to finance our budgets, which is why some of the decisions we're making are boneheaded. Even while we can't finance a lot of these things that are essential, here we are building a cathedral to what, foreign religion, when we can, what do they call, build the National Museum that will bring the Tigris and other things to attention so foreigners will come and see how our traditional ways of worship used to operate. Well, instead of building a national museum on slavery so we can highlight our history and where we have come from, instead of teaching in schools the great men and women who have in fact built our nation since the first band of modern Ghanaians marched out of Ghana 800 years ago in Rajapa, Nanaya Santua, George Ekim Ferguson, the leaders of the Aborigines Rights Protection Society, who completely changed our history. We do not prioritize our true heroes. And that, in effect, is a major symptom of a people who are not truly independent, except in flag and anthem. That's my point.
So you say we should be careful not to say we have not achieved anything. But what is it that we have achieved? And forgive me for asking, though, because what is our percentage of GDP to even look at our unemployment rate and everything? What is the progress that we can really be proud about that we have made, you know?
Well, the progress we have made is not in economic terms. I think that's where we missed the point. Ghana's independence was fundamental to the emancipation of the black man. At least on 6 March 1957, among those people who were in Accra was Martin Luther King Jr., coming from the stint in the Birmingham jail. And he himself says, I listened to a quote and read, he said, a lot of people on the streets of Accra were crying for joy. And he said, I was crying, I was inspired. It was nice to see a place where black men were managing their own affairs. Nkrumah's foundational leadership of African unity, his transformative speed, the fact that a lot of Africans in Europe were claiming that they were Ghanaians. We should not underestimate the psychological and cultural impact that we had on the emancipation of the black race and all oppressed people. That is a major progress. Not only that, Nkrumah's government did a lot on education. As a result of that, Ghana became one of the most literate countries in Africa. We set up indigenous businesses. You know, that demonstrated, you know, an airline. People around the world, for example, for the first time saw blacks flying planes. We won African Cup of Nations. We went to quarterfinals in the Olympics. We did a lot of transformative things, you know. Yes, we lost our way, but let us not pretend that nothing was achieved. We achieved something.
All right. So, Professor H. Kwesi Prempeh, I'm looking in 2022, our public debt stock was about some $67 million, is it? And that was like 92% of our GDP. Our GDP was like 0.3% of the world's economy. Presently, we are talking about unemployment, average unemployment rate, more than 15%, 1.3 million people, or is it, aged 15 to 33 are unemployed. The minimum wage, just about $1. So what's there to be proud about? And forgive me, I saw you also on social media sharing views with when somebody brought up the argument about, you know, this place I just referred to as the desolate place that has become the most attraction. Now a destination more visited than the UK for business and tourism. You know, they grew their GDP from $11 billion to $101 billion between 1999 and 2015. Oil money contribution was reduced from 18% of their GDP to 1.2%. So now the Dubai economy is largely a service-driven economy. Everything must be wrong with us.
Again, thanks for keeping me here. But let me give you one short advice in terms of your guest selection. When you invite Atta Kennedy to your show, you don't need to invite me. The man speaks for me on so many issues. And I say that to say that I pretty much endorse every one of the comments that is made.
The two of you, we get you only once in a while, so please let's enjoy it.
It is quite refreshing hearing him again. Now, again, I think I must echo his sentiments that yes, we have punched below our weight. There's no doubt about it. You know, but we must grant a few things for starts. You know, independence was significant. And I think Arthur Kennedy makes a very important point, the timing of our independence and some of the changes that took place in the status of black people globally, including across the Atlantic. These are not accidental. In fact, in the 1954 issue of Time magazine, Nkrumah's face was the cover face. And when you read the feature articles in there, the strong connections being made with developments going on at the time in the U.S. As well as in Africa outside of the Gold Coast at the time. This was even before Ghana. Connections being made between the decision in Brown versus Board of Education and, you know, things happening in the American South as well as, you know, and the connection being made with independence in Ghana. But I think even internally, I mean, we have achieved something significant. Not many countries have been able to hold together as an independent nation. Our social cohesion, despite all the divisions in our politics, is something that I think we have managed to secure quite well. Our territorial integrity is not at all in question or in doubt. We have not descended or degenerated into fragile state or failed state status, notwithstanding all our challenges. So, and those things are important because you must have stateness. The quality of stateness is important to have as a foundation for building anything else. So we may not have built a good economy, our politics is nothing to write home about, but we have the quality of stateness, and that counts for a lot. So I think that we can start from there and then concede that we have grossly punched below our weight. Now, I think one of the failures we have suffered in the course of our journey is to have taken quite literally what Nkrumah said about seek ye first the political kingdom and all other things shall be added unto you. What was the context? For Nkrumah, I think at the time he made a statement, the political kingdom was to capture sovereign control of the state from the colonialists. That was a political project. The most urgent political project at the time was to capture sovereign control of the state from the colonialists. So it was independence. The political kingdom was to have the state. The all other things shall be added meant that, you know, without having sovereign control of the state, political power in the hands of your own people, there is little else that you can do. Now, we then take that, and from everything we've done since independence, it looks like we then internalized it. It was not for us a contest between indigenous and foreign control or colonial control, but it then became about a contest between political factions internally. So we have since then been basically seeking the political kingdom for factional use. Mm-hmm. One party or one faction of the political class seeks to capture the state, not to do anything grand, not to benchmark ourselves against Malaysia, not to benchmark ourselves against Singapore, not to benchmark ourselves against South Korea. These were our peer nations in terms of the countries you know, who were also liberated or who self-liberated around the same time as we did. We captured the state in other, so that the other rival, our rivals, would be excluded from the spoils of power. So for us, the capture of the state, it's not for the ambition that Nkrumah set, which is that you have the state so that as a sovereign, you can then reach for greater heights. The things that Arthur Kennedy has spoken about, intellectual liberation, you know, cultural liberation. These are the things that, the all other things that will be added, not because they'll be, they'll not be added without effort, but at least once you have control of your own destiny as a country, then you can actually make these pathways towards real liberation. That is what we have failed at. And so we have basically been in the doldrums, in the wilderness. We haven't made very intelligent use, for example, of our natural resources. Look at just the sheer, you know, in terms of the Gold Coast, we want to call the Gold Coast for nothing. It meant something. How have we used the gold, our gold resources, for example, as a country? How have we used at independence everything that we had when we were elementary school? We had bauxite, we had manganese, how have we used any of these things? And then on top of this comes oil. So basically, we have not really liberated ourselves. We have not understood the essence of Nkrumah's seek ye first the political kingdom. We have seen it only in very parochial, you know, provincial, sectional, you know, inter-party, you know, rivalry terms. And that, I think, is really destructive. If the benchmarking we're going to do as a country is between NPP and NDC, then we're not going to go very far at all. The benchmarking we ought to do is the one that South Korea did, looking at its former colonialists and saying, we really have some ambition here. We need to prove to the Japanese that we too, we can do this. We need to prove to the North Koreans that we can do that. The Singaporeans, you know, Lee Kuan Yew had to prove to the Malaysians. You know, right. They were actually independent together with Malaysia. The Malaysians sacked them. They thought this is just dead weight. They're going to be a burden on us.
Right.
They had something to prove. What do we have to prove? What are we trying to prove? Right? We make hollow noises about sovereignty. You know, we are free country. What do we have to prove? You know, by passing an anti-LGBT law is how we express our sovereignty. That that's a fairly hollow one. I mean, exactly what is the, what does that mean? Right? We need to get serious about the business of nation building. Okay. We need to get ambitious. Mm. We need to find a place in the sun. Most countries that do well want a place in the sun. They are driven by huge ambition, grand ambition. Mm. Not this, you know, very, you know, mediocre NPP versus NDC kind of fight. You did that, oh, you two, you know, we did that better than you on this one. We see this picture. We are tarring this road and you are here. I mean, this is 2024, for goodness sake, right? So I think we've set our sights too low. The ambition is too low. We've punched below our weight. Too much mediocrity. We've settled for too little. Even our politics hasn't matured. Just look at our politics. Look at our political parties. Where is the maturity? Look at the quality of our discourse. Where is the maturity?
All right.
And these are things that make nations. These are things that make nations.
Right.
Not just this perpetuative independence. You go on a march every 6 months and you say you're independent.
Thank you, Prof.
So now, that's called.
Right. Thank you, Prof, very much. And thank you for making time to be with us. We know that you have to take leave of us right now. And
thank you.
I'm going to share some 8 minutes, 4 minutes each for the politicians in the studio to see if they can elevate us to the next place beyond, frankly speaking, the mediocre in the competition of fixing, you know, roads that we hear about. And for crying out loud, we, together with Côte d'Ivoire, produce 57% of the world's cocoa. We top Africa in gold production. We are 8th in oil production. And yet, like I mentioned earlier, our public debt to GDP in 2022 92% our contribution to the world economy by GDP, 0.3%, negligible, almost nothing. And the unemployment is terrible. Yes, Eduji.
Yes, again, the founding fathers of our nation, I mean, if you are not careful, you may end up saying that their vision and understanding of the issues ahead of them were better. There's a secondary school in this country that has, I think its motto, think ahead.
Right.
I mean, in our very local...
As Prepper College?
Yes. No, no, no. I think one of the schools...
Oh, is that not? Okay.
Infantipemo, one of them.
Oh, I see.
Good.
I see.
Now, today, even in our very local conversation, if the Aboriginal protectionists then were not minded to speak against attempts by then British colonialists to alienate our lands for themselves, I wonder if we'll be in position today to even sell any land to any private person. But they were thinking ahead of us and what we should do. The emergence of Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, the kind of thing that he did. Obviously, he was well ahead of his peers. I think one of the things that I've militated seriously against our development, maybe, is how fragmented we are. The fragmentation had really not helped in consolidating power. I strongly believe that the U.S. is what it is today, also because of the nature of the federal state.
We are scared now. Part of the reasons we are hesitant to approve the LGBTQ bill, anti-LGBTQ bill, is that we stand to lose $3.8 billion.
Annually,
this country is unable to account for $3 billion.
So I'm coming there. So due to
corruption.
So, Senior, that's the point I'm making, that I recall vividly. There was a time, I think it was late President Mills, David Cameron and co. were putting pressure on a similar conversation around LGBTQ or something. And he said, look, I am the president of a sovereign republic. You are also a president of the or prime minister of the United Kingdom. You take your United Kingdom, let me take my Ghana. At that level, It requires a certain leadership response. And that is why I said earlier that our president missed a glorious opportunity.
You are not going back to that.
No, I'm not. But I'm just saying that that was an opportunity to assert. The question of independence should also be a matter of consciousness. At this level, we may be politically independent, but economically dependent. And that is why an imaginary threat of losing 3.8 billion should be now. Last year alone, the Ghana Revenue Authority posted, even in the Daily Graphic, that they raised domestically 113 billion Ghana cedis. So if a country has the capacity, okay, to raise 113 billion Ghana cedis within, what it tells you is that a threat of $3.8 billion should not be something that we should ordinarily, if we had put our finances and the management of the economy properly. So what we should all
add. You have faith that in the current milieu, the politics that Prof. Ephraim talks about, we will get there?
We have the capacity to get there. And that is what I'm saying is a question of leadership response.
The hopelessness in the youth, and somebody suggests that they are not hardworking enough. If you drive on the streets of Accra and you see how young men are selling all sorts of things just to eke out a living,
you should never be saying such things. I do not subscribe to the view that young people of this country are not hardworking. I've interacted with a lot of young people. They are well qualified. In fact, immediately they leave the shores of this country, they blossom, they do so well. So there must be something that inherently,
right,
as it were, inhibits such development or growth.
Right.
We have the capacity, okay, and I think it's a question of leadership.
Right. Are we doing the Fansipin motto, Dream Shekan, think ahead?
I think, thank you very much, Samson. I think that certainly we're doing that. And if you look at the horizon where we come from and where we are today, you certainly can say that if the Big Six visited Ghana today, they'll be proud what we have achieved. Primarily, I think I want to make the point that the idea of self-determination is not for us to prove anything to anybody. It's a fundamental right for us to determine how to live well according to our values and beliefs. That, in of itself, is achievement. For any group of people to have the capacity to self-determine that we are a society where a group of people will live according to our values and beliefs is a fundamental right that we have asserted, and we thank our forebears for struggling to attain that for us, and we have built on that considerably. And if you look at today, where Ghana is, a lot of us will be proud. But for the wastages that occurred, and that the antecedents of the NDC, the PNDC, wasting a vast amount of years in military rule, and subsequently the First Republic, the first 8 years of the Fourth Republic, I think that would have gone far, but we'll regain those lost years. But I want to agree with Prof. H.C. Prempeh that we have not made intelligent use of our resources. And that also, in part, is due to the NDC disruptions and the wasting of our time for a long time. You know, up until last year, 2022 or so, when Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, President Akufo-Addo Bawumia administration, faced with a challenge, decided that as a people, we will make a different choice in relation to how we consume the gold that God has blessed us with. And so for that purpose, came up with a policy for the Bank of Ghana to purchase gold. That exercise, up until that exercise, Samson, the wealth of this country in terms of solid gold in hand of this country was less than 9 tons. Of this country was less than 9 tons. If you compose that in terms of kilogram, it'd probably be equal to about 8,700 kilograms, equal to about 170, 74 or so bags of cement. That's what the Gold Coast had in terms of gold to call in hand. But then the decision was made. This is where we start to say that we must make intelligent use of our resources. Mm. So say, let's purchase gold, one, to back our currency. And we have done that since last year when this program started. We've purchased about some 26 tons of gold, okay? If you compare that, or if you add that to what the gold that has been purchased under the Gold for Oil program, is a total of about 49 or so tons of gold. That is in many fold more than what we have accumulated since independence. The truth of the matter is that we need to be smarter. In fact, in dollar terms, of this, just the gold that I'm talking about, in dollar terms, a total of about $2.73 billion that has been unlocked. And those actually are some of the measures that has brought the economy in the place we find it today. So on the basis of that, we are moving forward as a country with a vision to henceforth make intelligent use of our resources. Dr. Baumia, in his vision, is looking at ushering Ghana into a golden age for the maximization of the benefits of our natural resources. Right. That, for me, is the future we're working toward. And I think that given the space, and Ghanaians will give us the opportunity for Dr. Baumia to become president. Right. In ushering Thank us you. Into this
age. Well,
please take a break here. We'll be right back to ask the question. President John Mahama's choice of Professor Jenana Opokuagyeman as his running mate is getting praises for inclusivity, gender equality, or equity. But will it translate into the first female vice president on the 7th of January 2025.
Samson,
we'll be right back.
If anything, I have